It's time for Dialogue Conspiracy with political research specialist Mae Brussel, who for 3 years has shared with us her decades' research into political assassinations and abuses of power in this country. Her program relates the news of the week to emerging evidence about the conspiracy which allegedly maintains by force its control over the legislative and judicial processes in America. And now, here's Mae.
Good afternoon. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. It's May the 5th, 1975, and this is number 195 in Dialogue Conspiracy. I have an announcement regarding ordering the cassettes for these shows. I've been on program for almost 4 years, and we've never been able to supply cassettes for the radio broadcast. But there is a party in Sacramento now that will be making the tape cassettes of the 45-minute broadcasts, and if you want to order them, I will be making out a table of contents of each week, starting with this week, of the subject matter that was discussed. And you can send $3.60 per broadcast here to me at Mae Brussel, KLRB, Carmel, California. It's box 3904, and the zip code is 93921. Send your name here so that I know who is receiving the tapes and the check, and then I'll send them on to Sacramento, and they'll be mailed to you from there. You'll have to excuse me this week. I have a bad head cold I've had for a week. I'll try not to cough. My voice is scratchy. I did too much talking last week. I was back east in Ohio, Missouri, New York City, doing 1 4-hour speech at the Elgin Theater and 5 hours at night from 12 at night to 5 in the morning with Bob Fast. And I did a lot of other speaking and interviews, and my voice got really tired, and I had caught a cold when I came home, I guess from the rain back east and so forth. It was windy out in Long Island. I was at Stony Brook College, and so I'm getting over a cold now. Forgive the scratchiness. I want to get into a lot of new evidence on the John Kennedy assassination for my research, but I think it's important today to talk one more time just on the subject of the politics of conspiracy, because a lot is happening in the terms of various researchers and the way the teams are lining up to open the investigative work. And I want to go into this slowly, once and for all, and then not cover it anymore, I hope, for weeks to come. There are many articles in the newspaper. There's a good one by Ron Rosenbaum in the Village Voice saying the turning point for the assassination buffs. And he goes into the fact that the assassination researchers are finally getting the attention they deserve, but a lot of them are afraid of a new cover-up, and that's exactly what I want to talk about today. There was another article in the Washington Post, April 28th, on the conference studying JFK slaying. The New York University Law School had a conference last week, and the Washington Post gave it an article mostly quoting Penn Jones Jr., who was back there. Another article by William Buckley Jr. called Killers on the Loose, and I'll refer to that and go into what William Buckley is pressing now. He stayed out of conspiracies, the subject of assassinations, for 11 years, and all of a sudden he enters the scene. I am glad that the Gonzales resolution is temporarily shelved in the House. I hope that there won't be too much pressure to open up this case right now, because this isn't the time to open up the John Kennedy assassination. I'm more interested in where is Howard Hughes, for specific reasons that are linked to the political assassinations. What is the relationship of the Hughes empire to the CIA and to retired military Pentagon involvement? Are ITT and the Hughes empire one and the same, and are they the CIA? When E. Howard Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy worked in the White House and then at Mullen Associates, which was across the street from the White House, which served as a CIA cover for various agents, as well as public relations firm handling ITT and Hughes interests, was this office a continuation of the secret team that was funding money behind the assassinations of President and John Kennedy? What were the links in this office to the assassinations, people in that office to the earlier assassinations, as well as to Watergate? Richard Nixon is the gentleman who put Gerald Ford from the Warren Commission into the office of president, and it was Gerald Ford who was responsible for bringing G. Gordon Liddy to Washington, D.C. I want to note about the Mr. Edwards file. I read to you the last 2 weeks part of the CIA report of William Colby to Senator Howard Baker. And in that report, they talk about the secret file of E. Howard Hunt, the Mr. Edwards file. These things are pertinent now, and if opened properly and not destroyed, like the White House tapes of the contents of E. Howard Hunt's desk, they did, in fact, exist in June of 74. And these are important questions that have to be answered before we go back to the John Kennedy assassination. I read this week about the FBI turning over confidential information on anti-war activists to the ITT. And I also wonder who is Dr. Joseph Witzenbaum from MIT, who just received a Pentagon contract for machines to produce artificial intelligence so that a small group of scientists in the United States can literally control the Earth. I think the use of the ITT, the satellites of use, and the combination of American scientists and Nazis brought over from Germany have it in their power to control the United States and the world from these satellites. And they just have a little bit more control to do, and the Pentagon gave a new contract on the subject of artificial intelligence. And I want to know more about these things. There are a lot of people asking to open up the John Kennedy assassination, particularly that one. I want to repeat, nobody in this country that I know of has worked longer than I have on that subject. There are some researchers that have done as much work as me, but none have done more. We've done equally as much. But the time to open the John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King murders is not now. The reason I believe that is that in every movement, there are agents of infiltration that neutralize the movement. The FBI mastered that skill in 1960s and 70s in their counterintelligence programs. And the researchers into the John Kennedy assassination have to be expecting or should have known that we too would be infiltrated. I think that there's a cutoff here, what they call a White House flap or a cover story. And again, the Village Voice mentions this as a possibility that being, as the old Zapruder film, Abraham Zapruder film of the Kennedy assassination is being revived, and the doubts about the Kennedy assassination are coming out, there seems to be a convenient way either to blame Castro for killing Kennedy or taking a low-level plan to blame only the FBI and Lyndon Johnson, who are dead. I don't want a low-level conspiracy investigated. I think you have to realize that the Watergate cutoff was the Ellsberg story, the entry into the Dr. Lewis Fielding offices, Ellsberg psychiatrist, and by carrying that as a great scandal for the CIA and the White House to be doing to make a personality profile of Daniel Ellsberg, they avoided investigation into the ITT links to the White House, to the Watergate, or the Hughes connections, or B.B. Rosso, or the shooting of George Wallace, or the murder of Mary Jo Kopechne, and the murder of Dorothy Hunt in the airplane crash, the links of Watergate to Dallas that involved Frank Sturgis and E. Howard Hunt, possibly James McCord, were all avoided. And the cutoff, very conveniently, was the White House flap was the Dr. Lewis Fielding offices. And I feel that the cutoff at this point would be blaming J. Edgar Hoover or Castro or a low-level Dallas police conspiracy and not going where it should be going, all the way up to the present people who are in power, including Gerald Ford, who is covering up now and was covering up 11 years ago. I have always wondered about what I call the Grassy Knoll team. Maybe you've heard me mention them before. It's a group of people that kept insisting on showing the Abraham Zapruder film to various colleges and lecturing places and had evidence or documents to show that there was a very large conspiracy, but have not used this documentation or cared to speak about it publicly. And recently, when I was invited to Boston, I asked one of the members of the Assassination Information Bureau there why they didn't use this material, and they said, did you believe it? Even though it could be checked out, the interest in renewing the John Kennedy assassination has been with a group of people, and now it's spearheaded by Mark Lane, who never got off what I call the Grassy Knoll, which was the area right in front of the Texas School Book Depository where John Kennedy was killed. Now, there was this conference in Boston at the end of January, which I've talked about on the air, and at the press conference there was Robert Groden showing the Abraham Zapruder film, which the Warren Commission showed 80 times, which wasn't new material. It was a good copy, but it wasn't really new material. And when the subject came out about who done it, and I named 40 or 50 names of people, Mark Lane right away got panicking, got up and said, we're not here to name names. It will set us back 20 years. Well, I was confused about this. I took Mark Lane's differences with me as being personality problems. I heard him in Beverly Hills High School in 1964. I took notes of the lecture. I saw him in New Orleans in 67. And when I went to see Jim Garrison in his office, Mark walked out of the room. I saw Mark in Boston. And when I brought about 40 or 50 documents from the National Archives that are mind-blowing evidence of a conspiracy on the part of the Warren Commission, such as fudging the text and filling it with his phantom exhibits and so forth, Mark didn't ask to see one of them and went out of the room. And it seemed that the conference there was going to settle for the fact that John Kennedy was shot by a man possibly in front of him, and that the finger would still not be pointed to the higher teams that I think should be responsible for accounting for the cover-up, if not for the murder. A next conference was held in New York City the weekend before last. That's New York University, where Mark Lane said that he didn't want to appear with me because I was irresponsible, that I would set them back, and I felt that his work or his holding information, the grassy knoll, would set back a lot of the other truths that are now available. Alan Lowenstein was there pushing for the opening of the Robert Kennedy assassination, and these men are forming in Washington what is known as the Citizens Committee of Inquiry. They're trying to organize young people into a movement and to open the Kennedy assassinations. I believe that you need organization to get a certain amount of change going, but I've never been an organization person myself. I never believed that the answer to opening up the John Kennedy assassination would come so much from just organizing or people spearheading it as a mass of people getting educated into books and documents and forcing Congress through their individual efforts to open up this investigation instead of allowing a lot of people uneducated to turn the investigation over to Mark Lane or Harold Weisberg would not be sufficient until you've read many, many books covering the whole range of what those political assassins are doing now to affect our lives, as well as back at the time that John Kennedy was killed. Well, an office has been opened, the Citizens Committee of Inquiry, and they're pushing for an investigation, which I am worried about. And one of the men working in this investigation with Mark Lane and Robert Groden is Bernard Fensterwald. Many people have wondered about Bernard Fensterwald's role. He opened up an office also in Washington called the Committee to Investigate Assassinations. People have suspected him of being a CIA agent, suspected Mr. Smith and his office of being CIA. I withheld my feelings about it until a contact of mine, another researcher, was in Los Angeles about 2 months ago and met with a Mr. Hugh McDonald, formerly of the OSS and CIA, who said that he had worked with Bernard Fensterwald for 20 years. And you know that James McCord, at the time of the Watergate hearings, surfaced with his new lawyer instead of F. Lee Bailey, and it was Bernard Fensterwald who had been suspected a long time of being a CIA agent. When I heard this conference was taking place in New York, I went back to New York. I was invited to speak at the Elgin Theater, where I conducted 4 hours of telling about my research, and had a very successful meeting with people there in trying to turn them into new avenues of information that link to the John Kennedy that aren't separated from it. But in this interim, I want to describe what was going on at New York University and the things that I fear. For one thing, when the conference started, Bernard Fensterwald that week had been on national television, and he said that he wanted to open up the John Kennedy assassination after 11 years, but he said it wouldn't be a drawn-out thing. It would take only 2 days. Now, anybody who has heard Dialogue Conspiracy 3 consecutive weeks or more knows that there's more than 2 days material in the John Kennedy assassination to investigate alone. So even without his past background, it would be very wise to say, well, who is Bernard Fensterwald, who after 11 years would close this investigation in 2 days? That is exactly the thing I was fearing and the reason I went east. Then Alan Lowenstein got on national television with Mr. Buckley, William Buckley, who's the godfather of E. Howard Hunt's children, and worked with Mr. Hunt in Mexico, where a lot of the funding for the John Kennedy assassination came from, where agents for the Watergate. The funding for the Watergate came down there in Mexico. And Alan Lowenstein gets on television with Buckley and says that he would be perfectly satisfied to limit the investigations to certain ballistic tests on Sirhan's gun. And he wasn't interested in Sirhan or the conspiracy angle or who Sirhan knew or if he was controlled in any way. That Sirhan simply was unimportant to Alan Lowenstein or Mr. Buckley. Buckley came out this week and, as I say, in the newspaper has an article called Killers on the Loose, in which he quotes Mr. Lowenstein, and he said that they should open up the Robert Kennedy assassination, and if such a body of men exists, this is what Lowenstein said, capable of frustrating American democracy and getting away with it, it is our responsibility to find it out. Now, Buckley said, it is feeling that Lowenstein's position is serious and worth examining. He is a responsible man, distinctly of another breed from Mark Lane. So that even Buckley there was putting down Mark Lane and praising Alan Lowenstein, but not mentioning any of the work, which you know I've talked about Ted Chirac or Jack Kimbrough or Lillian Castellano in Los Angeles. All of a sudden, William Buckley is pressuring an investigation of the Robert Kennedy assassination, which I'm very suspicious of because knowing the links, and we'll go into the, of Mr. Buckley to Mr. Hunt, and Mr. E. Howard Hunt working for Howard Hughes' empire, the links of Hughes to Lockheed, and Lockheed to Thane Caesar, the man who was sent to guard, in quotes, Robert Kennedy. I wonder at what level these people back there are willing to cut off the investigation like they cut off the Watergate, proclaiming all the time we'll open it up, but then closing it very quickly, like Bernard Fenswald asked. I went, after my lecture at the Elgin Theater in New York, I went over to the New York University to hear Fletcher Prouty speak. He wrote The Secret Team. He worked for the Pentagon and was a liaison from the CIA to the Pentagon for many, many years and had a very high position in the Pentagon. I didn't introduce myself to him. I have talked to him on the phone. I sat in back and listened for a change. There were about 35 people attending his group, which was pathetic because this conference was supposed to be a big launching in New York, and the entire conference, in my mind, was pathetic. But I think their karma was coming back at them. Fletcher Prouty talked about the John Kennedy assassination. He said the only thing that mattered in his mind, the most important thing, was that the National Guard offered protection, which is customary, to John Kennedy, and was told by the Secret Service that they didn't need them in Dallas, Texas, or Fort Worth. And he said the windows of the Texas School Book Depository were not shut, and automatically the Secret Service goes around and closes them. So if there's a gunman or somebody ready to open a window, they can use a walkie-talkie and come down to that window. Somebody asked Fletcher Prouty about Marina Oswald marrying a man from the CIA, and this is a quotation, it doesn't matter if Lee Oswald or Sirhan Sirhan were agents of the FBI. None of this matters. He put this off completely. Again, this is kind of your responsibility to go into that area. So we have Bernard Fenswald saying he'd open up the thing for 2 days. Alan Lowenstein pushing, being pushed by Buckley on the Robert Kennedy assassination, and Fletcher Prouty settling for a security protection in front of Dealey Plaza and not who Lee Harvey Oswald really is. Then Jim Lazor, the attorney for James Earl Ray, got up. He works with Bernard Fenswald and said that they're not representing Ray on the lines of a conspiracy. His representation had to do with a new slug and ballistics of a gun that was in the rooming house as against a fatal weapon that killed Martin Luther King. Jim Lazor was also telling people who asked about Mae Brussel that a researcher from Paul Hawk was collecting a dossier on me and would come out with the goods on Mae Brussel. Paul Hawk happens to work at the Berkeley Radiation Lab for the United States government, I imagine, and he's been to my house several times as a researcher, brings his little black attaché case and comes and leaves. I haven't seen him in about 3 years. So I called Paul Hawk and said, let's get the roots of the smear campaign. I'm going to start getting the Jim Garrison treatment, or what they did to Martha Mitchell or Dita Beard. And why is Jim Lazor, the attorney for James Earl Ray, walking around saying that Paul is collecting information on me? So while these people are supposedly at a conference to expose conspiracies, they are in conspiracies of cover-up, manipulation, and smear taking place at that time. Robert Groden is back there showing his film that Abraham Zapruder took at Dealey Plaza. never yet explaining how he attained the film or if it was stolen from Life magazine, and he's showing it commercially for money, why they're allowing him to do that. And then Mark Lane got up and gave his speech that Saturday night saying, we want to open up the John Kennedy assassination. We want an investigation like Watergate. And Mark Lane, as I say, has opened his offices at his Citizens Committee in Washington, D.C., right next to the Supreme Court. He also was pounding the table saying, I want to save America. I want to save America. And Mae Brussel is irresponsible. I want to save America. The links of, say, Dallas to the present brain implants or psychosurgery or genocide in America or the use of satellites for unemployment and starvation and terror and the increase of police coming home in America or the Phoenix operation coming to California and several other states, the men who hire the assassins and the torturers being brought to this country is not linked by the other researchers, but it is linked by me to the agents who are also involved in the Kennedy assassination. Well, Mark Lane, as I say, publicly said he wants an investigation on the John Kennedy assassination like we had on the Watergate. Now, you remember Richard Nixon said at the time of the Watergate that he wanted an investigation of the Watergate like they had on the John Kennedy assassination, as thorough and complete as the John Kennedy assassination. So if the new Kennedy assassination inquiry is going to be as complete as the Watergate, and the Watergate inquiry was similar to the John Kennedy assassination in 1964, then we're headed for a second-generation cover-up of the cover-up, because, as I say, Watergate didn't go into the Hughes affair, the tapes erased, the bugging of the president, murders of various people like Dorothy Hunt, Murray Chotiner, Mary Jo Kopechne, the shooting of Wallace, the Mexican Houston money. If Mark Lane wants that kind of investigation, like the Watergate, and the Watergate was like the John Kennedy, then I must be stupid or something. It looks very much like another cover-up by the experts, and this could account for why they never did get off that grassy knoll. And while they say they want to stick with a certain amount of evidence, there is a lot of evidence available to get more information out about the murder of John Kennedy. Another quote from the New York conference was, this is the last best chance for the assassination researchers to get a serious audience. This is a direct quote from the New York conference. Now is the last best chance for assassination researchers to get a serious audience. If they fail this time, it will be too late. Well, I would hate to think, after 11 years of research into these political assassinations, that this is my only chance and last chance for us to get a serious audience. I don't believe it for a minute, because by the people I saw in New York and at the colleges and Ohio, St. Louis, just on this one trip alone, I know, and up in Sacramento, and I'm going back there again next week, there is an interest, a growing interest, and there's a whole generation reading information and learning, and this isn't our only chance. There are many reasons why this isn't the time, and as I say, I'm going over them again today, and I hope not for a long time, so we can get back into the sources of information and proof of conspiracy as we have been doing every week. But number one, the President of the United States, Gerald Ford, was on the Warren Commission. He was planning to make a movie produced by MGM, a 2 to 4 or 6 hour documentary that'll be played over CBS. Now, when the President of the United States has that much power, when all his evidence is coming in of a conspiracy or cover-up, and his only answer isn't, show it to me, maybe we missed something, but to use his own book to cover up the conspiracy again, this isn't the time to confront the president. It's time to remove him and impeach him. Every adjective that described Oswald in Gerald Ford's book and will be in the movie is an outright lie. It was provided by witnesses whose backgrounds link directly to our intelligence agencies, many of them related to German Nazi intelligence infiltration into our defense industries after World War II, with headquarters in Montreal, Jamaica, and Alabama. The second reason it isn't the only time is that when the President of the United States from the Warren Commission appoints another lawyer from the Warren Commission, David Belin, to investigate illegal CIA activities, domestic activities, this isn't the time to go into it. It isn't the time to present David Belin with any evidence, because there's no evidence that he would see that would convince him a conspiracy exists. The third reason not to open it is that William Colby, the war criminal from the CIA, who's worked since the OSS days with E. Howard Hunt, James McCord, Richard Helms, and Alan Dulles for 19 years, is not in any state of mind to open up the conspiracy that killed John Kennedy when he's holding back evidence even to this day about the Watergate, much less the John Kennedy assassination. So the head of the CIA is no position to turn over any documents that we need, and his agency has been destroying them in the CIA ever since the men were arrested at the Watergate, if not before. Senator Sam Church's committee is held tight by Burke Marshall, the man who kept many researchers from the National Archives regarding the John Kennedy assassination, and has withheld evidence of the Chappaquiddick affair that eliminated Ted Kennedy from the 72 nominations. Furthermore, the fifth reason not to open it is the House of Representatives has had a mandate or a order that they could go into investigating CIA activities, illegal domestic activities, and after 9 weeks today, May the 5th, they still don't have any staff at all. They've been in business 9 weeks, and they don't have a staff. All they have is a security director with nothing to guard. There was even a suggestion that Chairman Lucian Netze of Michigan, this is Ford country from Michigan, I don't know the links there, has been charged with stalling. The Civil Liberties Union asked that he be resigned from this committee. And then the sixth reason is Leon Jaworski from the JFK assassination, representing the Houston Foundation of the CIA, on the Warren Commission, came to Washington at the request of Richard Nixon and stayed with Gerald Ford and was part of the cover-up of the Watergate, as he had been earlier in the John Kennedy assassination. So with these kind of appointments and these kind of teams, this is not the time to open up the John Kennedy assassination at all. Now, there will be a time. In April 1967, Greece was overthrown through our CIA. Lytton Industries was one of the conduits of money with Roy Ashe. And the day after Greece was overthrown, new textbooks were ready to be issued April 1967 that were slanted on the side of the military dictatorship. 7 years later, with the military dictatorship out, a more truthful textbook can be issued. But it wasn't time to print textbooks of Greek history from April 67 for the next 7 years. The war in Asia escalated. After John Kennedy's death, we saw E.R. Hunt forging documents from the State Department that blamed John Kennedy for the murder of Diem. 11 years that government was under the control of Americans. We selected Premier Key, Premier Thieu to run Vietnam and push Diem out by taking away his guards and support and had him murdered. This is no time during that war in Asia, those 11 years, to write the history of Saigon and Premier Key and Thieu. Now the history of Saigon may be written differently with a different interpretation, but certainly the victorious armies in Greece or Saigon or in America can write an objective story, and the same applies to our history of the 60s and 70s. Not till the killers are out of office and not until the coup is overthrown will we really be able to write a history of what's taking place. Now, Senator Howard Baker announced this week that he's thinking of running for President of the United States, and in the same paragraph he said he wants to open the John Kennedy assassination. Now, what makes Howard Baker qualified to investigate who killed Kennedy 11 years ago when he sat on all the evidence of conspiracy at the time of the Watergate hearings, right in front of the camera, in front of your eyes, and called the wrong witnesses on the stand, like the Warren Commission? When they had the right witnesses, they asked the wrong questions. If something got touchy, they changed the subject. They were carefully screened. No information came out about what Watergate really meant or what Watergate was really about. And one of the rewards for Howard Baker, I'm sure, is to continue the line of succession as a CIA or intelligence man who protects the team. And therefore, he can run for presidency because he has so much information of these reports of the CIA that he now has control of the situation. And as long as he plays their games, he becomes eligible as the next president of the United States. The only way to get the truth out is to get rid of all their team members, if it's possible, and have Congress cut off the funds of these committees or the purposes of these committees be exposed and open up the truth on a broad scale, objective investigation. If that can't be done, there's no point in having a closed investigation. Now, the team of people pushing this quickie investigation lines up pretty clearly now. I can see what's happening with Bernard Fensterwald, Mark Lane, and George O'Toole, and this Citizens Committee of Inquiry. And another member of that team is Robert Kaiser, who works with Fensterwald, who is back at Washington with him at a conference just last year making fun of conspiracies that they don't exist. This kind of investigation would exclude the evidence of Marina Oswald as an agent of the CIA, the Jack Ruby connections with the oil millionaires, the CIA, and the anti-Castro Cubans. They would not go into why Earl Warren had to order the cremation of Lee Harvey Oswald's body before the Warren report was really even put together or they began their investigative work. They would hide the use of military intelligence from Munich, Germany, that arrived in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, or the use of black money from the Republic Bank in Texas, and the connections of the oil operators to organized crime with links to the white Russian community and to the Defense Industry Security Command, or Division 5 with William Sullivan of the FBI. They want to limit this research because all of this information is available and not one of them is speaking about it. They never mentioned that Albert Osborne, the missionary who sat on the bus to Oswald, or the allegations that he ran the school where assassins were trained and sent all over the world for the last 20 years paid by the FBI. This team that wants to open the John Kennedy assassination doesn't want to go and never speaks of or admits that these allegations exist and can be charted out, proven or disproven. So that team wants to keep it at a very low level, FBI. And this one of these things it would do is that James McCord's involvement in the John Kennedy assassination, if it was there and there's evidence to go into it farther, would not be opened up. And obviously with Fencerwald, his attorney, how far would they go? And then you have the other side of the Robert Kennedy assassination, where Ted Chirac is being ignored. He has a movie of Thane Caesar from Lockheed saying that the Kennedys gave the country to the niggers. He admitted he's firing the bullets. I doubt very much whether Mr. Lowenstein and the group opening up the Robert Kennedy assassination would go into the Thane Caesar connections at Lockheed, the Howard Hughes connections to Lockheed. Grant Cooper, who is Sirhan's attorney, came to him after a case for Mr. Roselli, who was hired by Robert Mayhew and the CIA and FBI to murder Fidel Castro. They wouldn't go into Sirhan's links to the racetrack or the Las Vegas crowd or possible links to the Hughes Empire or to Robert Bennett through Mullen Associates. Pardon me, I've got to drink some water. My mouth is dry from this cold. E. Howard Hunt was employed by the CIA, and he was working at the White House and Mullen Associates as his cover. Hunt is closely associated with William Buckley and a long relationship, personal, professional, in the CIA in Mexico, close relationship at home. And now Buckley is lining up with Alan Lowenstein. And all we have to ask ourselves is, would this kind of lineup of Buckley, a close friend of E. Howard Hunt, lining up to open up the Robert Kennedy assassination, make sure in this case that the investigation would not go into Howard Hughes or Las Vegas or Lockheed or E. Howard Hunt's working for Howard Hughes and the connections and the Vegas connections? Who would be protected? And why is it that one team, Fencerwald representing McCord, wants a quickie investigation of John Kennedy, and Mr. Buckley and Lowenstein can keep a lid on the Robert Kennedy assassination and the low profile? I want to say that these teams seem very clearly, I'm flowing off a lot of these names to you, but the lineup is very clear to me on what they're doing and why they're doing it, based upon the evidence available that none of these people are talking about. I wanted to read you a little bit of Volume 5 of the Commission hearings, the hearings before the Warren Commission on the assassination of John Kennedy, page 203 to 206, because there's very strange dialogue which has to do with a Mr. McCord, a lawyer, and it has to do with Mark Lane and another Lane. And I'm wondering, as I look back over this time period, which McCord this was, and if these investigators would open up these kinds of matters. I remember in New York Times, February 26, 1967, Richard Harwood had an exposure of the CIA, and it goes into the fact that a lawyer, by the name of Hans Tuft, was no lawyer at all, but actually a renowned CIA agent who came out of a Wall Street investment firm of Wood, Struthers, and Winthrop, and that his legal credentials were signed by Samuel Milbank, the law partner of John J. McCloy, who later was on the Warren Commission. Now, Hans Tuft, the CIA agent, worked with E. Howard Hunt and James McCord and Richard Helms. He was in the CIA at the time of Bay of Pigs. He was writing about the blunders of the Dominican Republic, but he was passed off as a lawyer through the law office of a member of the Warren Commission. And I want to compare that to an article I wrote in The Realist, July the 11th, 1972, where I was talking about James McCord, who was arrested at the Watergate Hotel, who was evidently brought up in Texas, went to college in Texas, and his wife also was from Texas, went to Baylor College. And he set up a McCord Associates in Maryland, and his sister, Dorothy Berry, was on the board of directors of this associates after he left, officially left the CIA, in quotes. And Dorothy Berry is employed by an oil company in Houston, Texas. And I did some investigative work and found it was the Humble Oil Company in Houston, Texas. McCord was not licensed for security work. He had a charter which mentioned nothing about security work. He paid no 1972 taxes, but James McCord had an office called McCord Associates. But his background goes to Houston, where the funding of the assassinations of John Kennedy and also the funding of the Watergate played a big part. And then I got out my, as I say, volume 5, an interview of Jack Ruby, who was in the room at the time with Earl Warren, Gerald Ford, Leon Jaworski, and they were talking, and Joseph Ball and Leah and Arlene Specter, who originated the bullet 399 theory, that famous one bullet that did the killing of John Kennedy, allegedly, and shot John Connally. And in the interview, Jack Ruby is talking to these various officials, and they're talking about a Bernard Weissman, who was brought to Dallas, Texas, by military intelligence. And this Bernard Weissman was infiltrated a group called Young Americans for Freedom, which Buckley, again working with E. Howard Hunt previously in Mexico, formed with Douglas Caddy. And at the time at the Watergate, we found out that Douglas Caddy, a CIA lawyer, worked at Mullen Associates with E. Howard Hunt. Now, William Buckley and Douglas Caddy formed the Young Americans for Freedom in 1960. In 1962, men from military intelligence were brought to the Dallas-Fort Worth area and became part of Young Americans for Freedom and played a role in the assassination of John Kennedy and the shooting of John Connally. The conversation in the Dallas jail between Jack Ruby goes like this. I'll read you a few sentences. It goes into a Mark Lane, and it goes into Bernard Weissman. And Mr. Rankin from the Warren Commission said, there was a story that you were sitting in your carousel club with Mr. Weissman. That's the man from military intelligence who's part of Young Americans for Freedom. Officer Tippett and another one who called a rich oil man at one time before the assassination. Can you tell us anything about that? And Ruby said, who was the rich oil man? And Ruby said, I'm the one that made the big issue. They said, can you remember? We haven't been told. Ruby said, I'm the one that made the big issue of Bernard Weissman. Maybe you do things to cover up, if you are capable of doing. As a matter of fact, Saturday afternoon we went to the Turf Bar Lounge, and there was a lot of hullabaloo about impeaching Earl Warren. And he said he went with a Polaroid camera to take pictures of a sign regarding impeachment of Earl Warren to see if Bernard Weissman had put them. Mr. Rankin, the chief attorney for the Warren Commission, said, this Weissman and the rich oil man, did you ever have a conversation with them? And Jack Ruby says, there was only a few. Bill Rudman from the YMCA and I haven't seen him for years. Then Chief Justice Earl Warren said, this story was given by a lawyer by the name of Mark Lane, who's representing Mrs. Margaret Oswald, the mother of Lee Oswald. So we subpoenaed him, and he testified that someone gave him information to the effect that a week or two before President Kennedy was assassinated in your carousel, you and Weissman and Tippett, remember Weissman is from Germany, Munich, Germany, infiltrated now this Young Americans for Freedom, she says she had information in your carousel club that you and Weissman and Tippett and Mark Lane had this information. The officer Tippett who was killed were in your club and had a conversation. We asked Mark Lane who it was that told him, and he said it was confidential, that he couldn't stay at the moment. Mark Lane wouldn't tell who gave the information that Bernard Weissman was in the carousel club with Jack Ruby, and I think this was very pertinent considering that Bernard Weissman came over with approximately 12 people from military intelligence who were neo-Nazis, linked to known Nazis in Germany, infiltrated the Birch Society, and were allegedly in Jack Ruby's club. Mark Lane made the allegation to the Warren Commission, and they asked Jack Ruby about it, and they said, isn't this foolish? If a man is patriotic enough in the first place, who am I to be concerned if he wasn't an informer? I'm incarcerated and there's nothing to worry about anyone hurting me. And Chief Justice Warren said, I did feel our record should show that we would ask you the question and you would answer it, and you have answered it. Now, the questions were asked about Bernard Weissman in the club, and it wasn't answered, and it was never put to rest. And Mark Lane allegedly had information that enough important enough to take the Warren Commission, that Bernard Weissman and Officer Tippett were with Jack Ruby in the club, but he wouldn't go further with the Warren Commission 11 years ago. Chief Justice Earl Warren said, we just wanted to ask you the question because this man testified to the fact. Then Jack Ruby began to talk about a meeting he had at the Cotton Gin Company with a man named Mr. Fox and the Fox brothers, who owned the Tropicana in Cuba before Castro took it over. And Jack Ruby said, he gave us bad checks on a gambling date, and they came to visit me. The lawyer, I think, was Mark Lane. That's the attorney who's killed in New York. And they say, no, that's the one who represents Margaret Oswald. And Mr. Rankin says, he's still alive, though. Then Ruby said, there's a very prominent attorney in Dallas, McCord. McCord represents the Fox brothers here. Now, an attorney in Dallas by the name of McCord was representing men who had gambling interests over in Cuba before Castro took them over. He represents the Fox brothers, and he called me and wanted me to come down to the hotel. And he refers Ruby to Mrs. McWillie, who has involved her husband with gun running to Cuba with Jack Ruby, with the anti-Castro Cubans. Ruby said, Dave McCord, I was in his presence. I was invited out to dinner. And there was also an attorney by the name of Leon. Is he associated with McCord? Now, what I want to know is if James McCord at any time used an alias, like Hans Tuft used an alias, the CIA agent involved in the Cuban invasion and in the Dominican Republic invasion, along with McCord, used a lawyer's name for operations in the United States, and he got his law degree on a piece of paper from John J. McCloy, who later became a member of the Warren Commission. And because McCord's family came from Houston and he and his wife worked out in Houston, it would be interesting to know if this was a legitimate lawyer or if that lawyer McCord could possibly be the James McCord who shows up at the Watergate later, who was working with the Fox brothers who owned the Tropicana clubs in Cuba. Is this a legitimate Dallas attorney or not? I haven't been able to find out. But in the same conversation where Mark Lane is bringing up the name Bernard Weissman, who did infiltrate the organization and take over with a group of others that was formed by Buckley and Douglas Caddy, who appear later at the Watergate arrest. And here the McCord lawyer is meeting with Ruby. These are the kind of questions that must be investigated and not at a low-level investigation. This is from Volume 5, page 203 to 206. The questioning goes on. Jack Ruby begins to talk some more about McCord, and the subject then has changed. He's talking about the Fox brothers and another dinner meeting with McCord, and he goes into a payoff that he gets from this gin company. He says that was they were compelled to pay off the Fox brothers, and he goes into that, and then Mr. Rankin changes the subject and said it would be very helpful to discuss the shooting of Lee Harvey Oswald. And that is what you call change of subject, and of course Mr. McCord is not identified now or has not been up to the present time. So I hope next week we'll get on to more of the commission hearings and the proof the conspiracy exists. But don't force an investigation and write your congressman and tell him with the present people appointing the investigators, it is better to wait until we get the full truth about these assassinations, even if it takes 11 years longer. Saturate yourself with books and documents and information. Then, 11 years from now, hopefully if this team is out, we can investigate it properly.
This has been Dialogue Conspiracy with political research specialist Mae Brussel, who for 10 years has been researching the facts behind political assassinations and conspiracies in this country. Dialogue Conspiracy originates with KELRB-FM in Carmel, California.